Radio.
The Ulu Cultural Center. Our babies are depending on us to pool resources and build. We'll tell you how in a few minutes. Stay with us. Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperatives that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join the conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you're on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage. Click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You'll be at the Blog Talk Radio site at that time. My name is Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Thurman, who, like me, is a member of Ulu. Peace, Brother Thurman. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm good. I'm so glad to be with you and the family. I always feel good when I'm with the family.
And we're glad to have you, and we're especially happy to have you follow up on the conversation that we began a couple of weeks ago. You introduced us to the idea of Ulu Cultural Centers in an earlier Dare to Win broadcast. Please give us an overview of what cultural centers are, how they differ from community centers, and why they are important in the Ulu scheme of things.
Thank you so much. And when you said different from community centers, and it's not all community centers, but for the most part, community centers are lacking in culture from our perspective of our original culture, and they're centered around some that I have read about, and that I mentioned, several weeks ago, that their focus was about bringing children in particular to the centers and providing some recreation, some playing, some food, but it was not. There's a higher level of doing things, and culture is involved, and so culture is so vital to our getting back in our correct. It's vital to our liberation, because otherwise, what we are wrapped up in is the Europeanized way of thinking and behavior, which has never freed us, and it will not. But the history, the past has shown us that it did not, because it's not. It's out of order. And our culture gives us a variety of habits and rituals and beliefs that nurtures us, and it creates it's a continuous thing. It's a daily thing, and it creates grounding, and it makes us loyal and loving to each other. And so I hope I answered your question just saying that a little bit.
Yes, absolutely, because, we – are, I think, so used to just things the way they are that, we see a community center and somebody says, well, let's do a cultural center. And they say, well, we already have that, We don't.
We have
a place where people hang out, but it's not really a place of learning and elevating ourselves, or as you would say, getting back into our right minds. The overall society does, just in our little enclave, rather than making a difference and doing something differently. So tell us how you see these community centers. The cultural centers. Do you see them as being separate buildings, standalone, or are they? How are they placed? Where would we find them?
That's a good question. When it comes to whether it would be a standalone or part of a bigger enterprise, business enterprise, and when I say that, Ulu members know that. Our flagship model business that has been in our plan, you could say the longer term plan, is a Ulu marketplace that would be a huge, could be 150,000 square feet, as big as a Lowe's or a large Walmart size building. That would have multiple things, and it's actually essential. Now, the question is, and it's in the hands of the people to decide whether the cultural centers would be in the Ulu marketplace, which would be just wonderful. When I think of standalone would be that if the opportunity came that we could get a standalone building for however that came about next month, as a Ulu member, and all members have a say-so and all members have a vote, my vote would be to let's do a serious inquiry into taking that, because just like the Ulu marketplace is necessary, including having a farmer's market where black farmers could actually bring their produce when otherwise they have difficulty getting their produce into the marketplace, it would be a place where our people could come and get the produce, and we know where it's grown and who grew it, and we could do business, and it would help everybody. It would help us who receive the produce, and it would help the farmers that produce the produce. Now, in the meantime, every second, when it comes to my perspective of the cultural centers, every second that goes by that we don't have cultural centers where we are gathering and getting sharing cultural information with each other and networking, we're failing ourselves. And so one of the questions that comes up in this conversation is, why do we need cultural centers? I've talked about it before, but there's a whole bunch of whys. But among the things is that we are social beings who thrive and produce, maintain, and protect each other when we gather with each other culturally, ideally daily. And the kidnappers of our people separated us intentionally and strategically did that not only in the past, but currently, even with this so-called lockdown, but the biggest lockdown, the most effective damage has been done with this lockdown of the past year. So it's locking down our mind, and those that were, that have been duped and just freely accepted that, they don't realize that it set our people up for some psychological damage that they can't even measure, most people, right now, and it's going to affect us more and more because we were already, as I said, by way of being kidnapped to be put on plantations, we were separated intentionally from our high cultural ways. We were separated from everything that they could come up with, including the drum and our spirituality. And so the cultural centers is a place where we would come back and regroup. And so it's needed right away. And there's so much knowledge that every day that we need to share with our people, correct evidence-based knowledge. And otherwise, our people, because of being duped, there's just widespread confusion in terms of the correct way, the higher level way of going forward. And so if they say we need to take a vaccine, a huge number of us have already volunteered and taken it and proud of it. And it doesn't even fit into our cultural clarity. It's just a no-no that we would just think that it's okay for us to do it, as if the kidnappers have become good, loving people of us. And the evidence is all around us. It's in the news all the time what they still think about us. The evidence, not my opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm not making it up. And well, so another thing that comes in this conversation is that we need to remind our people and bring some many of us all over the planet has got so much to contribute to what I'm getting ready to say, but the question is, what is culture? And certainly in defining it, it should not be a definition of some European version of culture. But amongst our people, our culture is a variety of habits, rituals, beliefs that include art and dance and historical lifestyles of African people. And just for example, when I said habits, the habits are cultural habits of African people, and it still happens in Africa, but many African people in Africa as well as outside of Africa have forgotten about it. But we had a tendency, and it was a cultural norm, that we, when we sit in a circle together or share together a platter of food, and we all reached in and gathered the food and would consume it, we did it with our right hand, because culturally we had the practice that goes way back, that with our left hand, that was the hand that you used to clean yourself when you eliminated waste. And so as a cultural practice, that was just a way of saying that, well, if you hadn't washed your hand, at least I know you're not reaching into the food with your left hand. But they had African deep thought about things like that, that included such things. But that's part of our culture. And our culture is, it needs nurturing. It needs to be tended to like a garden. And when we tend to it, we get good results. But when we stop tending to our culture and take on some insanity of others, then you see what the result is. We have gone, you know, centuries, and we have not taken our liberation, because we're not even liberation-minded. And so as us lifting us, as is emphasized with us lifting us, that our liberation requires our participation.
No doubt.
And we're participating in large scale in doing European and other people's things, and that's not going to work for us. And so you got a question?
And I was going to say, Del Jones used to say that culture is everything that people do, when they do it, how they do it, why they do it, and then what. So everything comes in the realm of culture. So what we have drifted, like you say, it was high thought. We thought about what we were going to do as a group, how we were going to do it, why, when, what we were going to do afterwards, like you were saying about ritual and other things like that. All of that is part of the culture. And so when you say the cultural center, then we can have high thought and go think about what do we need to be doing, how we need to go about it, and all that other stuff. And so then when somebody tells us there's a very bad cold going around, we don't get upset or think that the people that have been trying to kill us for thousands of years now want to protect us from a cold, you know, because we will have that history and that understanding of who we are, where we are, and our relationship to these other people. I think that's a very valuable aspect of the culture centers that you're talking about.
Yes. And I thank you for what you said about Dale Jones and what his message, and it's very vital, and it would be wonderful if you sent that out to our people, because Dale Jones was on top of so much, and for those that did not get to be in his company and his many, many lectures, and so he's got writings out there that's available, including Culture Bandits, Dale Jones. And and so we can go on. So we must have these kind of cultural conversations, gatherings, and it would be a part of everything we do. And we would be in the cultural centers. We would, of course, socialize, talk to each other, and talk is from the cultural perspective. I said this word. Socialize and talk, but talk from the African perspective of high culture Africans, it does not necessitate that it's done verbally like I'm doing, like we're doing right now, because in our high culture, we knew how to communicate non-verbally. So that's why when I put down socialize, talk, I have it right in front of me, talk / non-verbal. And in another aspect that's necessary, that's vital when it comes to the cultural center, it would be places that we would come to that we control, and that we could stay there as long as we want and talk as black as we want for as long as we want. And we are suffering more and more every second that goes by that we don't gather to have conversations that's private amongst us, just us. Because when we get on, the telephone, Zoom, and all of that, I'm listening to you, and you're listening to me. We're responding back and forth, and we're responding to the other people on the line by telephone, by internet. But it's not just us, and we need that. And in some of those conversations that we need to share, just amongst African ears. Going back to be back in touch with being able to do the nonverbal, which we can, it's in us. We just have forgotten it, and we got to regroup. But nonverbal communication is, as far as I know, the oldest and still most powerful form of communication that we can communicate with the elephants, with the lions, and with each other. from miles apart, whether it's a mile apart or 10,000 miles apart. And we can do it really, very effectively. So I just want to emphasize part of the culture. And so we've got to relearn these things. And in the cultural centers, we've got to relearn how to effectively communicate with each other, which would include never arguing. We just got to relearn that. And so the conversations that our people have over and over commonly have, that's got a lot of fussing and cussing and arguing, that doesn't fit in with the high culture of African people.
Right.
The African people thought that, and it's still real serious, that when you have mastered calmness, you have mastered one of the keys to life. When you have mastered calmness, and that's vital, because if we cannot effectively and efficiently communicate, we're not making progress. Because when we're doing it effectively, when we're calm, we can easily listen to each other.
Right.
And when we come back to making that part of our culture, we would easily be able to master this thing of never arguing.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally know it, because I had the experience of being with brothers that we would come to a circle to have conversations, but we came to the circle with love and loyalty in our minds, in our heart, to the level, to the degree that we were able to talk about anything, including religion, and never, ever had an argument. So I'm telling you something that Africans have done. We can do it again. It's just a matter of reprogramming your mind and getting the pollution out in the low-level ways. And we got to be able to do that. So now we can talk about anything and exchange thoughts, and whatever I said, I need you and I need the other sisters and brothers that's in on this conversation to contribute. But when you contribute, I'm going to be listening and taking notes. When you mentioned Bill Jones and the statement of Bill Jones, in my mind, I'm taking notes. And really, if I could have been moving fast enough, as you said it, I wanted to write down what he said. I'm taking notes. And so this is what we must do, because otherwise we'll just stay duped. And our total liberation is in our hands. We just got to do the proper things, and we've got to practice together. So we came together in African villages, for example, historically, when we went out through the village, out to the farmland or whatever our work was, we came back in the evening and we gathered together and we ate together and storytelling together and we drummed and danced together. But it just created such inspiration and motivation. But when we were separated from that, then we got off into some other stuff that just has destroyed our thinking, and we been made to be out of our African mind. And the cultural centers, over and over, we need each other's minds. But in my mind, I'm lonesome every day. I think about it. We've talked about it before, because there's so much in ingredients of the cultural center. And we need our sisters and brothers just to grasp hold of that concept and get to see how huge it is.
Right.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, finish that thought. Then I'm going to invite people to join the conversation and take a music break right quick.
Yeah, so just from a cultural perspective, and that we would be doing at the cultural centers, we would be talking about everything, including health and healing. And so from a healing perspective, suppose, as an example, if you ask most of our people that living in this so-called civilized society, wherever that is on the planet, if they had a headache, if you asked them, what would you tell them to do? I'd say, unfortunately, the answer of most of the people would be take an aspirin or something like that. But in terms of culture, we would know things that we could do, including some exercises, breathing exercises, but also that there are herbal medicines that will calm tension that you could actually put a few drops in your hand and take your finger and dabble it across the your forehead and your temples and just mm-hmm. be quiet for a minute, and you'll feel the tension just relaxing and going on away. So why would you take poison like aspirin when we could be, but so these are the kind of things that we would talk about and help reteach each other in our cultural centers. And when it comes to any kind of virus or whatever, we would be doing our own research, and we would have answers of what we would use to combat whatever disease that there is, naturally and energetically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'd like to invite people to join the conversation. Please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone, and you'll be able to make a comment or ask your question. Right now, we are going to take a quick music break, and if I see any hands up when I come back, we will take your questions or comments. Okay, this Phoenix is about to rise. Welcome back to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Thursday Night Weekly Radio Program, where we discuss taking control of the economic destiny of our people and how to do it. Before the break, Brother Thurman shared with us the reason for Ulu Cultural Centers and some of the things we can expect to have happen in these cultural centers. I didn't see anyone wanting with their hands up. So, Brother Thurman, will you please continue with your thought? One of the things you said that was very important, I think, was that we could share valuable health information with people so we could have our own health processes rather than having to go to doctors who are part of a system that is trying to take us off the planet.
I agree with that. That's the health situation with African people is still growing in epidemic proportion. It's not my opinion. You just look around you, how many people you know got high blood pressure problems and diabetic kidney dialysis and on, that's all solvable naturally and energetically, and it ain't necessary. And it's causing us to suffer in terms of the energy that it takes for our people, to tend to our people that's suffering from those things because they ate themselves into that condition. And there's a difference between not having nothing else, but when a huge portion of us have a choice, we got to relearn discipline about that, but we need to be in the mindset that we don't want to be forever at the mercy of others. So it's just like Us Listening Us has a phrase that says, we either take control of the economics of our community or forever be at the mercy of others. And if I chose to volunteer to eat pork chops and cheese and cola and a cola drink, then if I get sick, I volunteered for that because a huge portion of most of us, we got some alternative. And if I was just in such poverty, for example, then the community, as the villages would have done in the past and the villages of now, when we come back to our right mind, we would grow more food to make sure you feed me. It was common for us in the villages in Africa, as well as the villages in the country of whether it was Georgia or Virginia or wherever, they would feed the ones that didn't have any food. They took them in. And so that's why we, as part of our culture, it was a norm for us to know more than one mother. Only one biological, but had, it was common where we had more than one mother. And so it could be mama, sister Q, or, and on and on. And we got love and nourishment. And I talked to a sister today that's 95 years old. And I reminded her, because when I was a baby and a little boy, she nurtured me. She was one of my mothers, and I told her that. And it touched her because I took her on a journey. Like I said, she's 95 years old. But she's not. The one I was speaking to was not my biological mother, but she was one of my mothers for sure.
Yeah. Brother Thurman, we have somebody who would like to make a question or give a comment. Caller with the last four digits, 7204. Please state your name, where you're calling from, and make your question or comment.
Yes, good evening. This is Deborah from Virginia. How are y'all tonight?
How are you? Fine. Good to have you
on.
Good. I think it would be awesome if we could have a lot of cultural centers, because we do need to come together. We need to have more love for each other. All that is very, very necessary. Now, how much would these cultural centers cost?
Well, that's a good question, and it's not a question to just go. I mean, it could be based on the building, the square footage of the building, and how much would that cost? So that could vary. Earlier in the conversation today, this evening, Sister Q asked the question, would it be a standalone building or would it be a part of a larger building, a larger complex? And I said, that's in the hands of the people. Me personally, as I have said over and over, and I'll probably keep saying it, that every second that goes by that we don't have the Ulu Cultural Centers wherever we are located, we're failing ourselves, because we need the communication every day to provide cultural clarity as we regroup and get back into our African mind. And every day that goes by that we're not sharing higher knowledge about whatever, including health and healing, we're failing. And so so locally, in every locality, there's opportunity for sisters and brothers that's serious and genuine and consistent about that to put their minds together and brainstorm on how we're going to pull it off in your area, because the cultural centers are needed everywhere all over this planet that our people are, so that we can be grounded and fed higher knowledge about whatever. We need survival training. But there are sisters and brothers that know something about it. I know people right in my area that conducted survival training. And the masses of our people, that's a subject that's just foreign to their mind. And what would you do? How would we function out in the woods? But we need to know. That's part of our survival. It's a cultural thing.
And I agree with you. I agree with you 100% about that. But when I mentioned the cultural sense, how much it would cost, what I was saying, a lot of stuff that's screwing us up as far as health is because of the pressure of having to depend on other people, having to deal with Europeans. And we need to get our own stuff together.
Well, I agree. I absolutely agree. And
you know, we need to deal with
the
economics. Because I really don't think a lot of people understand how important economics is. You know, we can talk a lot, but action. We need to start action.
That's why I said that in every area, the opportunity is there for people to come together, and you could come together as a study group. So us lifting us, it was a small number of sisters and brothers, you know, five or six, that came together as a study group to study economics and then study our original economic model and then study a sane model beyond capitalism. And that's how Us Lifting Us and this cooperative economics model was put in place because of a study group. And so Us Lifting Us has what's called, already built into it, what's called a UBC, which is an Ulu-based collective, which is a collective of Us Lifting Us members in every locality, whatever city you're in, that would start with 10 or 12 sisters and brothers that would come together to study the cooperative economics model and study a number of other things, including business opportunities in their area that they could bring to Us Lifting Us as a corporation and present it to the board of directors or go through the process. It would eventually get to the board of directors. It would also get to all of the Us Lifting Us members to approve moving forward with that. And so we would start with a group that's committed and serious to strategize on how we're going to get a place in whatever city or town that you are right now. So I hope that answers your question. And thank you for calling, and always thank you for being loyal to the people and to Us Lifting Us.
Well, thank you for being there. We need this so much. Thank y'all so much. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I wish it was 2 hours long.
I agree. We'll get there.
We can work on that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I was listening to a video earlier where actually they were talking about the court system, and what was brought up was that the people are the court, so that wherever you are, court is in session. So
yes,
we can
take that and say that
wherever we are, a cultural center is in session.
Yes.
I'm a cultural center. You're a cultural center.
Yes.
We don't necessarily
yes.
have to have a building to start out with. We can go to the park and sit and talk and transmit information. It's
our
conditioning has gotten us to think within very narrow confines. But when we were doing things before, we didn't necessarily have to have a building. We have someone else on the line. I'm going to open up and see who we got. I think it's going to open up. The computer is very slow. It's thinking about it, apparently. And it's not letting me open.
Well, the mic is open.
Is it open? Okay. This caller with the number is 3440. Will you state your name, where you're calling from, ask your question, or make your comment?
Thank you so much, Sister Q and Brother Thurman. This is Brother Shabaka. I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland. I really enjoy your program today. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you.
Oh, I'm really enjoying it. And when you were talking about the survivor, I reflected on a program that I was viewing, must have been about 2 or 3 years ago, probably more towards 3 than 2. And what happened, they took some people, and one of the people that they took to Central America, one of them was a sister from L.A. I remember this very explicitly. They wanted them to complete the journey that a lot of migrants coming from Central and South America to get a sense of feeling of the trepidation that they experienced and what it was like to travel great
mm-hmm.
distances. They even went into the desert. The survival
okay.
thing was extremely important. The person that couldn't complete the journey was the sister from
mm-hmm.
L.A. She was a businesswoman. All right, so the importance, and she was a little, you know, a little overweight too, I guess. But the importance
mm-hmm.
of what you just said earlier, all right, is that, you know, before we were people that was working from sun up to sundown, all right, enslaved, all right, and were able to, I mean, the Europeans couldn't do it. And now
yeah.
we have gotten so conditioned as a consequence of being ghettoized, as I call it, all right, and
mm-hmm.
not being access to health, air, water. You know, we know the water you can't drink. I mean, the stuff is poison. The air you breathe,
mm-hmm.
you got to get out the city just to breathe good air. So, I mean, I thought
mm-hmm.
that was extremely very important, and I'm glad that you brought that up because we're being wasted without knowing that we're being wasted. And we have to move out of that environment that we are entrapped. You know, you can still, you know, walk out of that environment. In fact, it'd be good if you can walk out of that environment, walk, all right, and
mm-hmm.
then, you know, put these kind of things into practice. So I wanted to share that with you. The other point I want, and I'll be very quick, when you were talking about the very good point that you made, Sister Q, in dealing with the cultural center, And Brother Thurmy really tied it up well with the Ulu's vision of how the study groups, which we call UBCs, come together, all right, to sustain, you know, our heritage, to understand our environment, and then to begin to expand and do things, just because remember now our process is family-centered. And families
mm-hmm.
come together into groups, all right? We may think it's odd. Well, it's odd because we've been bombarded as soon as we turn on the TV, all right, or the radio, or you looking at your social media on your phone, all right, that you paid $1,000 for, that's killing you as a radiation from that phone that's bombarding your ear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you know, you put the phone down sometimes. All right, and then begin to, you know, think and reflect, connect
yes.
with your siblings, with your parents, you know, with your neighbors. That's all we're talking about when we say build these UBCs, is connecting. And then once we connect and sustain, you know, what we've learned and understand a little bit better of what we did from the past, and then we would connect and begin to expand how we can move about for our sovereignty in the future. And then I think that's good. But I really appreciate the sharing that you all are doing tonight. And I hope that the listeners, brothers and sisters, family on the calls, you know, of heaving that. And please call in, you know, let's get clear on it. You got to pass that information on. And I'll shut up and listen to the rest of the program. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Brother Shabaka. Brother Thurman, I'm going to take another music break right quick, and then we're going to finish up the, with our last segment. We're back. We want to thank you. We're back. Welcome back to Dare to Win, the Uplifting Us Thursday Night Weekly Radio Program, where we discuss taking control of the economic destiny of our people and how to do it. I'm Sister Q. I'm here with Brother Thurman, and we've been talking about Uru cultural centers. Brother Thurman, what would you like to make sure our listeners take with them from this evening's discussion?
The first thing I would say is a very extremely serious matter that we do it, because the knowledge that we need to be sharing with each other on a daily basis is vital to our survival and for our total liberation. And if we stay duped and confused and loyal to enriching and being deceived by the ones that are getting rich off of our labor and whatever, everything that they can get out of us, we're just being very extremely foolish, to say it in a limited kind of way. And we can't afford that. So if we are serious, we have to be serious. And so Brother Shabaka talked about the out in the desert kind of thing, and the sister from L.A. that was having difficulty navigating. We can't afford to be unhealthy. We can't afford to be unfit. And so part of the liberation movement is that we have to be on a battlefield in our mind every day. And even if it's the mental, spiritual battlefield, we got to be fit. And if we're not fit, we ain't good soldiers to endure. And so that meant that if we had to go out in the desert or go out in the woods, if we ain't fit, there's a whole bunch of people, if we had to go tomorrow, we would have to leave behind because they couldn't go, simply because they ain't fit.
Exactly.
And we don't have that option. War is being waged on us. They have never, ever stopped killing us. Never, ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my opinion. And so we have to be fit. And the more well we are spiritually, mentally, and physically, and nutritionally, the less we are dependent on having to go to them in their institutions where they're going to stick some artificial stuff in you. Mm-hmm. And all you got to do is talk to sisters and brothers that have spent decades have gone by because of their effort to be well, that they haven't had any physical issues that require any medication or any surgery. So that, mm-hmm. I'm going to say that again. There are sisters and brothers out there that have gone decades, I said decades, with no medication, no surgery, because they learned higher knowledge about the health and things. And I'm one of them, so I'm not just talking stuff. And so in the community centers, it's vast in the cultural centers, so easy to slip in that word community. There's vast what we need to be doing. We need to have study groups once again, widespread study groups that would be teaching the knowledge that our master teachers and our elders, that our ancestors, were spreading so that we got clarity. We're not confused. We need to practice, come together and practice mental skills. Other people use the term mastermind groups, but the concept is about mental skills training. All of these things must be done in the cultural centers. And I mentioned survival training. We need to be training people about some simple things that they could do in terms of growing food. And also, when it comes to growing food, when it comes to survival, if we ain't fit, we're really not contributing to that situation. Right. And when it comes to growing food and farming, a whole bunch of our folks, if you ask them tomorrow to raise their hand, do they agree that we should be producing our own food and growing our food and we know where it came from and what's in it? The masses of our people raise their heads, raise their hands and wave, say, yeah. So then if you say, well, come on, I know tomorrow is going to be 85 or 90 degrees, but it's going to be sunny. It's not going to rain, so we can get some stuff done. Come on, go with us. But there's a whole bunch of our folks that wouldn't come and go because they're not fit, and they're also addicted to air conditioning. But it's time that our liberation requires our participation, and it's time for us not to be playing with this. So Dick Gregory said years ago, he said, playtime is over with. And so playtime is over with. So whatever the subject is, we've got to bring forth the evidential truth, not somebody's opinion, but the evidence-based truth about what we must do. And we must be spiritually, mentally, and physically and nutritionally fit.
Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about growing food and things. One of the things that we tend to overlook is that a lot of the greenery and the plants that we see around us that we call like wild plants are actually edible. But because in under a capitalist system, they can't control all of the different kinds of people. I'll give you an example. There's a sister in India, Dr. Vandana Shiva. She said that traditionally in India they had 7,000 plant foods that they ate. You know, they don't eat meat and animal products. So it was 7,000 food crops that they had that they consumed before the Europeans came. And the Europeans couldn't control that many kinds of different things. So they narrowed it down to whatever few that they narrowed it down to. And we're in the same situation. We are, our diet is narrowed down to the few things that they told us we can eat, where we're sitting, a lot of us, in areas where there's lush greenery all around us, and some of that is edible. We just don't know what's what. And the people, our elders and our ancestors that did know or do know, we ain't even asking them, trying to find out what can we eat here, you know. It goes back to what you were saying about survival. If you were in go ahead.
Yeah, so you're so right, and all of that is waiting for us. And there's a sister out of Florida, a professor, that years ago, and her book just stood out. She was on the cover, but the title of her book was called Walk Over Medicine. And mm-hmm. she said, you're walking over your medicine. And when you're mm-hmm. Europeanized, you've been taught to call some poisonous chemical company to spray your lawn to make it all perfectly green and whatever, and to spray mm-hmm. your lawn and your trees to kill mosquitoes and whatever. But it's the title of her book. It's a powerful message without reading the book, Walk Over Medicine. So when you walk mm-hmm. over dandelion, that exactly. this capitalistic system has taught you to put some poison down to kill the dandelions because you don't want dandelions and stuff like that and wild lettuce growing up in your yard. You were
yeah.
treated with some poison so it would all be uniform, unnaturally green. And mm-hmm. so dandelion, everything about the dandelion, the flower, the greens, the roots, is edible and healing.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
wild lettuce yes. is just another one of the things that's out there. It's edible. Mm-hmm. And there's just so yes. many things. It's edible. And this still goes back to the Ulu cultural centers. Mm-hmm. Whatever I and any of us have to say that we could contribute. And I would say to the people that are by internet and on the telephone, if you got some contributions to that would be among the things that we need to talk about, we need to know about, something to share, email Us Lifting Us at info@usliftingus.com. That's info@usliftingus.com. Because there's so much more that we've got to tap into to get back to our higher self.
Mm-hmm.
And Us Lifting Us is about the economic development and our economic liberation. And we've got to stop. We can't be playing with our liberation. We can't be playing. We need to do away with words like chilling. We can't be playing. And so if we are contributing multi-millions and billions of dollars to others and enriching them, and they still despise us and still a part of killing us and poisoning us, we got to put a stop to that, and we got to block up that money. So Us Lifting Us has a chart that shows a dam. And the image is entitled "Dam," and it means decisive action with our money, and it shows a dam. Well, we're going to dam up this flow of all of this money that's coming out of our hands and flowing into others to buy fakery and poison. We got to stop that. We can't get free by doing that. And then we've been duped to think, why would we be buying fakery to so-called make us look good and beautiful when we're naturally beautiful? And the only reason that you think you ain't is because somebody poisoned your mind. And it's just an illusion. And once you get over that illusion and you say, well, look, at all of these changes I'm going through to put a bunch of fake cover on me, and it's insanity. And we can correct that and also capture that money that we could be using. So tonight, you know, the topic is the Ulu Cultural Centers, the babies are depending on us to pool resources and build. And I'm looking at a picture that's on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page today that says, that shows a sister with two babies, you know, in Africa, you know, one of them wrapped around her back, one of them in her arm, and she's just smiling, and the babies are happy with mother. But it says that the babies are depending on us. But we can't save the babies, as Marvin Gaye's saying, we must save the babies, all of the children, and we're going to stay focused on lies and foolishness and reckless behavior and recklessly spending and consuming up insanity and getting sick behind it. We're giving up the money and getting sick behind it. And so
all those things we could go further
into in the cultural centers and every day. And you said it a few minutes ago, which was, I just love what you said. We could gather up in the park. We could gather up in a cut-over field out on somebody's farmland. And we should. And now there's people that wouldn't gather up because they got an attitude against the sunshine. But I ain't one of them. You know, I would be there. So the sunshine is part of our liberation, and most of us don't know it because we haven't looked up the benefits of the sunshine, but we need it.
You know, not everything is for everybody, and some people don't want to be liberated. That's okay. those of us that do will work toward that. Brother Sermon, I want to thank you for tonight's conversation, and I want to thank everyone who is listening. We will be back next Thursday with another episode of Dare to Win, and we hope you will join us then. Thank you. Peace.
And thank you. And family, we're going to continue this conversation about the cultural centers because it's vital. And email us at info@usliftingus.com with your comments or with your, something you got to share, and including your critiques about this message today, tonight.
Thank you, Brother Thurman. Peace.
Thank you, sister. Family.
storm in the